Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
You gotta love to play defense if you're gonna be part of Houston's program. He requires that. There's a certain level of toughness. You know, there's like, he wants his guys to be tough. And when you watch Houston play, you see physicality, toughness, defensive intensity every single year. The names change, but the style stays the same, and they're going to need that style if they're taking on, if they're going to be able to beat these Duke Blue Devils, because this Duke team is incredible.
All right, that was Brendan Haywood, former NBA center, former North Carolina Tar Heel. He said yesterday at the outset of our interview with him, he joined us yesterday on the show, that he is a fellow Coug basically this weekend, because as a Tar Heel, he's required to hate Duke. We'll hear the reasons why he hates Duke so much in just a second as we get you ready for the Final Four. You can hear it right here on Sports Radio 610. We'll circle back to Brendan Haywood in a minute. Seth, you had a good tease. So
So yesterday usually, as a rule, you should never search your own name on Twitter. I do it in very specific instances. What I did yesterday was I searched Payne and Pendergast, because a lot of times after we do an interview with Kisari or somebody else, I like to see what the scuttlebutt is, or whether people are responding to it or whatever. You know, so I did a Payne and Pendergast search real quickly, and I stumbled into this from October 28th of 2023. And to be clear, before I say anything else, Sean, you and I have never delved into Middle Eastern politics or affairs or anything on this show.
Or any politics, yeah.
That's very much the point of this tweet from this kid's script on Twitter. He says, "My dad just told me I shouldn't be against Israel because it's anti-Semitic. Brother, you get your news info from Payne and Pendergast."
And that's awesome. Okay.
So his point was that whoever he was responding to, he said this guy never pays attention to the news. Basically, he listens to Payne and Pendergast all the time, and now he's telling me what my views on Israel should be.
On politics.
So, yeah.
That's hilarious.
So listen, I'm not weighing in on anybody's position for any of that, other than I like that in this kid's household, he's using us as evidence that his father doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
This is one of those old school families where the family sits down to dinner every night. That this kid who's tweeting is one of like four kids of various ages. Mom sits at one end of the table.
Yeah.
Father sits at the other long end. And current events come up quite frequently at the table. And the old man, sleeves rolled up, tie still on from his hard day at work, with a beer on the table, says, "I wouldn't be hearing any of this malarkey from you if you just listened to Payne and Pendergast like I do every day, all right?"
Yeah, or the kid is just like, "You get your news from Payne and Pendergast. Right. I'm supposed to respect your opinion."
My favorite thing about that is that means that this kid is probably in the car every day with the old man, or was, I don't know how old he is now, but we get a lot of listeners that are driving their kids to school every day. You know, it's and so yeah. so that's I like that. That at least the earworm is embedded in this kid's brain, Payne and Pendergast. It wasn't, Seth, it wasn't, you get your opinions from sports talk radio. It was, you get your opinions from Payne and Pendergast. I like that.
So if anybody out there listening is the father of this this kid, I just...
Please text.
Thanks for listening.
Please text.
To no, the exclusion of actual other news.
If you...
Thank you.
If it's you, if it's... If it's you, I want to take you and your kid to lunch. I want to go. I want to.
Yeah,
want to
so break we can really hash out this this Israel thing.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll figure it out. Yeah. We'll fix it. Probably take about 45 minutes.
The
tops.
Only reason it hasn't been fixed is because Seth and I haven't gotten to sink our meat hooks into it yet. But yeah,
no, it's really the it's one of the things I feel most guilty about. Right. Is that I could easily solve all these world affairs and issues.
Yeah,
you guys got questions about tariffs, old Sethers? He'll set you straight.
You had a funny comment about tariffs yesterday, but it was about the tush push.
That's oh, they're trying to put a tariff on Jalen Hurts.
That was really funny. That made me laugh.
I ended up reading like 2 hours on tariffs yesterday.
That sounds delightful.
It was a blast. It was like anything else in life. It's always more complicated than than every
So. You will not get your tariff news on Payne and Pendergast.
No, God, no. The more I ever read or delve into news topics, I realize, like, okay, I can't possibly add anything to the discourse here.
And it's the fallout of it, too. It's all the blowback.
Right, no. Yeah, just so I can, please, let me say something for 10 minutes so somebody can grab a half of a sentence and blow it up all over social media.
You have informed opinions. It's the blowback, Not like
that is my favorite thing. One of my favorite things, my least favorite things on social media is when somebody will show a clip of a public figure talking about a hot button topic for like 30 seconds, and it's obviously part of a longer interview.
Oh, yeah.
And the comment will be like, oh, interesting that he didn't bring up this other part of the topic.
Brought it up either before or after. All right. Back to Brendan Haywood. What's the formula? What's the game plan if the Cougs are going to take down the Duke Blue Devils?
Do what we do. Because what we do is how the way that they play is the best way to beat Duke. We don't want to get into a track meet with these guys. They have better athletes. We want to slow it down. We want to make the game ugly and play defensive. We want this game played in the 60s. We want it to be just like the Purdue game. We want it to be 62-60. Mm-hmm. You want that game played at that type of pace, physical hand-to-hand combat. We're going to pressure these guys. You got to pressure Cooper Flagg. Pressure him. You got to pressure Conklin Upland. You got to get up into their space, make them uncomfortable. And Houston is probably the best team in the Final Four at making people uncomfortable.
Duke has not played a top 15 defensive team since December. And that's what's gone into my take is Duke has just not seen any team defensively like this. They've seen good teams, but nobody defensively like this one that they're going to see on Saturday. I love the Cougs plus 4.5.
Yeah, and it's not like they'll be unprepared for it or anything. But I think the thing about a Kelvin Sampson team and this team in particular is I have no fear or doubt that they're somehow going to not play their game. Like everything that Byron just said is 100% how I expect them to play. Mm-hmm. That they do what they do, and they're not going to get the moment's not going to be too big for them or anything to where all of a sudden they forget what got them to where they are. And I think it will be played in the 60s. It's just a matter of, okay, when it comes down to that final 3 or 4 minutes, really, who breaks first?
Yeah, well, and they got shot makers too. Yeah. Houston does, between Uzan and Sharp and LJ Cryer, they've got guys that can knock down shots late in game. So we'll see what happens. So Brendan Haywood, we also asked him to do a 5 Reasons I Hate You for Duke. We just did one earlier. There was 5 completely different reasons than the 5 that you're about to hear from Brendan Haywood, former North Carolina Tar Heel and noted Duke hater. Brendan, take it away.
Sean and I do a little fun. It's a fun segment called 5 Reasons That I Hate You that we'll do about opponents' teams. And we've never done one for Duke before. And right now the problem is we've got two.
Well, I got more than five.
Okay, good. Oh, good. I was hoping to get one out of you, but I was like, okay, we got all the standard ones from various people. give us a few from a unique perspective of a Tar Heel, a guy who played for UNC. Exactly, some reasons to hate Duke.
Okay, first of for my perspective, first and foremost, reason I hate Duke, number one, Grant Hill's been unruly in the group chat this year. I need him to go to sleep. I'm tired of him texting the group chat talking crazy. I need him to get out of here. Reason number two, why I hate the Duke Blue Devils. I don't like their fan base. Never have, never will. Always thought they were arrogant. Reason number three, I played way back in the day against Shane Battier, and I thought that he embodied that arrogance that I talked about with the fan base. So every time I see Duke play, I just see Shane Battier's face. Great guy, just never liked him in that space. He's a very good person. I'll say that again, very good person. Never liked him in that space. Other reasons why not to like Duke. You know what? Never liked Coach K. I know he's not there anymore, but I don't even want the ghost of Coach K's spirit in this tournament to feel good about where Duke is right now. I like the way that Carolina sent him off to retirement a few years ago. My last reason not to like Duke is simply I don't like that shade of blue. Okay, the light shade of blue is the blue that you need. That dark blue, get that out of here. Okay, yes. We don't need any of that. All right, you need that light blue in your life, okay?
That's a great job by Haywood to come up with five off the cuff like that.
That was ready, man. He did not pause at all. No. He was ready to go. The one big thing to remember about the ghost of Coach K is that you'll recall when Mike Krzyzewski talked down to Dylan Brooks after Duke got beat by Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks had hit a three at the end of the game.
Dylan Brooks played for Oregon in college.
Oregon beat Duke.
Yeah.
And Krzyzewski said something to Dylan Brooks.
Yes.
As they were shaking hands at the end.
Yeah.
And Dylan Brooks kind of went off about it or said something about it. Coach K said in the press conference, no, I was just giving him encouragement, and then later admitted that what he had said was, you're too good a player to do that. You're too good of a player. Because Dylan Brooks had stared down the player after he hit that three late in the game.
Yeah, I remember that. And that might be my biggest glitch with Coach K. Coach K was by far my favorite reason to hate Duke that Brendan Haywood brought up in that clip we just played.
Yeah,
that's my least favorite, and I'm serious about this. And he would do this a lot, where he would walk up to players, Coach K would, on other teams, and give them advice or kind of like, when I say advice, I don't even mean productive advice. I'm talking about like telling them how to conduct their business. And that gives me a real feel like when somebody else tries to parent your kid, you know, that's what that was for me. That's a big thing for me. Like, no, these are my kids. I'll parent them. You don't need to tell them what to do in these situations. That annoys me in general, and it definitely annoys me about that rat-faced worm, Coach K, for sure.
Wannabe Yoda.
Yes.
Is what he is, damn it.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's the other guy that reminded us of Yoda that annoys you?
I'm trying to remember. We just made a lot of Yoda jokes about it. God, who was it? It was a college basketball coach. Was it Tom Izzo? Was it?
No.
It was one of them.
No.
I can't remember who. Rick Pitino? I don't know.
We somehow didn't know. It wasn't a college basketball
coach. It
wasn't? Okay. One of our listeners will remember.
Yeah, they'll remember. Text in.
Or that kid who hates his father.
Yeah.
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 Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Y'all stop talking about this sports crap. Text message. I tune into Payne and Pendergast for world news and social news. Can you guys give us an update on the Ukraine-Russia war?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, this comes from Seth. Do you still have the tweet in front of you that we shared?
This tweet, Lopez. I was trying to find some Payne. I searched Payne and Pendergast yesterday, and I stumbled into this tweet from a kid last year who said, my dad just told me I shouldn't be against Israel because it's anti-Semitic. Brother, you get your news info from Payne and Pendergast, which wasn't anything to do with anything Sean or I said about Israel. It was more that he's saying his dad doesn't actually know anything about world affairs. He listens to Payne and Pendergast. We almost never talk about world affairs.
Yeah. I will say this, and this is the hand of God.
Yeah.
I get 95% of my business news riding the elevator in this building.
Oh, that little
little screen.
The little screen they have in the elevator is very useful. The only thing, like yesterday, it caused major anxiety. Oh, that's how much the stock market dropped today.
Yeah.
Ooh, haven't seen a number like that
this morning
before.
The job issues didn't drop as much as they thought in March.
Okay.
So I can have that conversation.
Is the market back up today at all?
No, or is the market's down? Not back up.
That's cute for those of you that actually have good investments in your 401k.
I don't even know if I have that. Why I needed
all
to
my
go
business
up.
News I get from the elevator.
Yeah. No, it's true. I'll oftentimes stand in there and wait till the article.
I do
I'm
too.
Done with the
I
article.
Do too.
Yeah. How you doing, Reggie?
Doing all right. Doing okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Excited for basketball.
Ready
man.
For the Final Four, baby.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Dean M. Leeson, right?
Yeah, my computer screen and my computer died.
It's all good.
But I will shout out Dean M. Leeson.
That's right.
Yeah, Crosstalk. It's brought to you by Dean M. Leeson each and every day on this station. Thank you for that. What is the question of the day, gentlemen?
All right, so
I know you were weighing two of them up.
Yeah. And we'll talk to Chancellor Johnson, who is in San Antonio covering this thing at 10:40.
Oh, cool.
So I was like, all right, maybe I don't lean so heavily into let's just get into the Duke of it all again. But question of the day: if you are to have the best day in Houston, what's one thing that's going to be vital to doing that?
Weather below 75 degrees, I would
below
say.
Below 75?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, below 75.
I don't know, I've been enjoying the hell out of this weather the last couple of weeks. See, this is how I know, and I'm not trying to big up you or big dog you or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm true to this, baby. I remember playing basketball in 100 degree weather with some jeans
on. I didn't grow up in it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
With jeans on.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I was a kid.
Like
stupid.
In the playground and stuff. Yeah.
Out front of the house. Yeah. But yeah, I remember, because I spent a year at Kansas State University.
Mm-hmm.
I remember there was one time where I was like, man, and it wasn't even when it was chilly. It was just the air is really thin.
Yeah.
And then it rained and I was like, oh, I can breathe. That's how much I realized that I enjoy the kind of the humidity here.
But we're talking even if you're going to spend a day,
food or activities.
8 a.m. till 9 p.m. or whatever. What's crucial?
Crucial. Okay.
Crucial
to do.
Do
you have a good one, Seth? Do you have a crucial thing for spending a quality day in Houston, Texas?
Sorry, I got hung up on the weather part of it. Yeah, that's the biggest.
Well, I will tell you, certainly, breakfast. Is there so many great breakfast places?
Oh,
and I feel bad because my very first thought is not one that you go, oh man, this great restaurant. I was just like, gotta have a kolache, man.
Okay, kolache's good.
Just gotta have a kolache.
Kolache's good. I would say breakfast at Avalon Diner for me.
It could be any one of them.
Yeah.
Some Mexican food breakfast.
Yeah,
Avalon Diner.
That's something I look forward to the night before.
Yeah.
I'm going to get up and I'm going to go eat breakfast over there. I like Sunday, Saturday, especially weekend mornings.
And I'm a big advocate of, hopefully the weather's not too hot, of Buffalo Bayou Trail, Heights Trail.
Yeah.
Get on some trail somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's where I get. I'm with you, John. Ideally, I can take a walk and the weather's comfortable at the very least before the sun comes up.
Right.
As long as the weather's comfortable at 5:30 a.m., I'm really, really happy if I just get out and can take a walk.
Those trails here are just so good.
Yeah, we got good trails.
Everywhere.
Yeah, we got good trails. you'll get some good answers on that one.
Can I do something real quick, though?
Of course.
I need to steal a couple minutes from you guys if you're okay with it.
Yeah, sure.
All right, so we're going to start the show with this question that I've been kind of pondering, and I really want you guys' expertise to add in before we get into it.
Hope it's not about current events.
It is not.
Okay.
It is not. Unless you consider the current events of how you build the Houston Texans. How do you get the most out of this tight end position coming up this season?
If it's these guys?
Yes.
If it's these three guys. I think because there's three that I count, right? Schultz.
Right.
Stover and Brevin Jordan.
Correct.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it and I'm thinking about it, and it feels like this might be a more run-heavy team than previously. And I don't know that you got the guys to be inline blockers or what have you. I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, I think a lot of it's going to have to come down to Cade Stover really developing as a blocker, mm-hmm. and that, so that you can offset that with a little bit of, okay, that Dalton Schultz is still a good receiving option. You just got to be sure you're not depending on him as a blocker, and then using Brevin Jordan creatively. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's there's nothing right now that gets me excited about
right.
it. I do think there's some things they did in terms of pass protection last year that made it even more difficult for Dalton Schultz to disguise some of his blemishes and flaws. So I really just hope that by Kaylee hopefully having a better feel for protections and CJ being involved with the protections, that they can limit some of the downside of Dalton Schultz or Brevin. Like, Brevin Jordan is a willing blocker, but he just physically, anatomically, not quite up to mm-hmm. it. A lot of it has to do with Cade Stover coming along and developing.
If I had to guess, I would guess that on plays that involved a tight end, one tight end, two tight end, whatever, Dalton Schultz was on the field for a vast majority of those plays
last
much. Year. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if I had to guess, it was interesting. I had this question asked in the mailbag for the Utopia podcast. Who do you think plays more snaps this coming year, Dalton Schultz or Cade Stover? And on the surface, I'm like, well, that's silly. Like, Cade mm-hmm. Stover's a second-year guy who's only in his going into his fourth year even playing tight end.
Yeah,
he was a defensive end when he got to Ohio State. Of course it's Schultz. But then you take a step back and you think, all right, well, we don't know what this offense is going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And if Nick Kaley is going to run the football a lot more, I think it's almost – I do think we're not going to see Dalton Schultz put in some of the positions he was put in last year to have to do things he's not good at, which means he won't be on the field as much.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. So the answer to your question, Reggie, might be it involves less Dalton Schultz, to Seth's point, a developing Cade Stover,
mm-hmm.
and then Brevin Jordan is just sort of this weapon X that sits off to the side.
Right.
For me, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
It's an intriguing room.
It is.
And yet I could see them drafting a tight end with
that's
their,
where I was going.
And, that's the additional level of this that yeah. we're going to get into here in a second.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Well, I'll be listening.
Thanks,
excited.
Man.
Yeah, for
Otherwise,
sure.
Otherwise, you were like, I'm out of here, dog.
Yeah, no, I needed good
Screw
tight end talk. Yeah, tight end and current events, because I get all my news from In the Loop.
Yeah.
John Lopez.
That's not going to help you
Reggie Adetula. All right, Seth, have a good weekend, my friend. Have fun watching Draft Day.
Yes, antibodies, and I look forward to solving healthcare next week with you.
All right.
I can't wait. Yeah. Brace yourself,
you come
kid.
For pain and Pendergast healthcare discussion.
Good Medicaid talk. We'll have some good Medicaid guests on Monday. All right, we're done. We're out of time.